4 score and 7 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We've come to dedicate a portion of this field to those brave men who here gave their lives that this nation might live. What am I quoting from? Oh, come on. The Gettysburg Address, delivered by President Abraham Lincoln on the 19th of November in 1863. It's the middle of the Civil War. It began on the 13th of April, 1861, and it will continue for another 18 months and through until the 9th of April, 1865. Lincoln is elected in the end of 1860 on a platform of bringing about the end of slavery. And of course, that leads shortly after his election, when he was inaugurated as the president in March 1861, to 7 states seceding from the Union. The Gettysburg Battle that was fought between the 1st and the 3rd of July 1863, and that ended in 51,000 casualties, was not the end of the war. As I said, it continued for another 2 years. But it was this decisive turning point. And some months later, when Abraham Lincoln went from Washington to Gettysburg to join in the ceremony of the dedication of the Gettysburg National Warfare Park, he was there really as a sign of that presence. And after many hours of long speeches, Lincoln delivered the Gettysburg Address, and we're able to remember it because it's only 266 words. I gave the first third of it today. Words have power. Words can change the course of history. Words have this meaning because there was a first word that was uttered well before any other words. We might remember another speech that was delivered almost exactly 100 years after the Gettysburg Address. It was delivered actually at the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C. It was late summer in 1963, and a young black Baptist minister stood on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, and he began to give a prepared speech. But about halfway through his speech, a black woman in the crowd called out to him, and she said to him, "Brother Martin, tell us your dream." And of course, it was then that Martin Luther King Jr. began to deliver what has become another one of those famous and classic speeches in human history, and certainly in American history. I couldn't memorize it, I'm afraid. It's more like 2,600 words. At that moment, he then turns and says, "I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal." He's quoting, of course, from the Gettysburg Address. He's quoting from the original Declaration of Independence that had been signed back in 1776, the 4 score and 7 years before 1863. "I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my 4 little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character." And he continued with great declarations, and the speech ended like this: "From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And when this happens, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, 'Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last. Words change human history. We might remember the speeches that were delivered by Churchill in June of 1940, when Germany had swept all the countries around it, completely obliterated the might of the French army that had been able to withstand the power of the German onslaught during the 5 years of the First World War. When Churchill rallied the people of England, who were also just lying in waste, the British army was not up to the task. But the words of Churchill rallied those people. We might remember the day that Pope John Paul II went to Poland the first time in the June of 1979, shortly after he was elected. When he went to Victory Square in Warsaw, and when he stood in front of that massive crowd, and he cried out to the people who were assembled there, and he spoke of the terrible dangers of communism, and he invited the people to imagine what they wanted. And he said, "What do you want?" And with one voice, the whole crowd cried back to him, "We want God. We want God." And historians say that is the turning point for the destruction of communism. That was the day when communism began to crumble. Words have power. Words are the source of our life. We cry out to God under many different titles. We call to God. We say He's a God of wisdom. We say He's a God of power. But Scripture begins by telling us that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And how did He do it? Through His Word. God spoke, and there was light. God spoke, and the waters above the earth were separated from the waters below the earth. God spoke, and there was life. God spoke, and we had our salvation. We read this morning from the beginning of the Gospel of John, that wonderful declaration that again defines our faith. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh, and the Word became flesh, and dwelt among us. My friends, this is what we celebrate on this day of Christmas. We celebrate that day in human history when God spoke that final word, when God declared in our human history, when He spoke a word of such power and such wonder that it took flesh in the frail arms and legs and body of a little child. We heard in our first reading today, the powerful declaration, that powerful cry of the prophet Isaiah, many centuries before the birth of Jesus, Isaiah declared that our God will bear His holy arm in the sight of all the nations. To bear your arm is a declaration that we're about battle. It's a declaration that we're about business. It's a declaration that we have work to do. But in our crib, the arms that are bared there are the arms of a helpless little baby, the arms of a child who can't defend himself, let alone lead an army into battle. Yet in the bare arms of the child placed in that feeding trough, we have that very sign of our salvation. And later, of course, we'll see the arms of Jesus laid bare on the cross in the sight of all the nations. We will see our salvation and our victory because of what Jesus went on to do. That He bared His arms in the crib, but He bared His arms on the cross. Because that word has power, and that word has salvation, and that word has freedom, and that word can deliver the truth of our deepest human longing. This Christmas, we are gathered to worship the Savior who has indeed bared His arms in the sight of all of the nations who are gathered here, even in this church, of the Lord who continues to promise victory, of the Lord who continues to bring the power into our lives. the Lord who continues to change human hearts, to inspire men and women to give their hearts and their lives to Him, so that through Him we can change the world. We live in a world that's sometimes very dark. We live in a world that needs that transforming power of Jesus Christ now, like no other time in human history. But Jesus needs men and women who will commit themselves and dedicate themselves to being bearers of that mystery, bearers of that light. This Christmas, we have an opportunity to again renew our commitment to the Lord, to say to Him, we want to stand with you, to be part of this mighty word, this mighty declaration that can change human hearts and human history. Let's give our hearts and our lives to the Lord today. Let's allow the Lord to indeed again bear His arm in the sight of all the nations, to bring His victory, to bring His freedom, to bring His life to us.